Hey everyone, this is Luke Conger, member of the Confessionals podcast, and I just wanted to share real quick. Tony, congrats on the app. Awesome. Know that's a lot of work. I love it, and I'm just starting to love it more and more and more. And I just want to share, if you all are not members, you are missing out on this app experience. Think of Twitter, but specifically for the Confessionals. You can talk specifically about certain episodes, you can engage with other people, you can engage specifically with Tony, direct message with individuals. So great, love it. Looking forward to how it's gonna continue to progress in the future.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Listening to the Confessionals podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. Merk Merch is the name, and that's where you can get all the game. That's right, the t-shirts, hoodies are all available right there at merkmerch.com. Get your swag on before it's gone. All right, merkelfilms.com is where you get your documentaries. We got three documentaries there right now for on-demand streaming. More documentaries, docuseries coming soon, independent creators. And if you're somebody who created something gnarly and you want me to distribute it on merkelfilms.com, shoot me an email. We can look at it. No guarantees, but we'll at least look at it and give it an honest shake. All right, friends, today we have Todd Coconato on the show. And I met Todd Coconato at Armed Media Conference. It's a Christian media conference I was speaking at last October. He is a fantastic person. He kind of grew up in Hollywood doing acting. And we talk about the dark underbelly of Hollywood, UFO abductions and Nephilim, global conspiracies and government manipulations, ancient biblical archaeology and spiritual awakenings within the Christian faith. I think this was a great conversation. I hope you do too. So let's get to it right now. Todd Coconato, what's going on, man?
Tony, it is so good to be here. I love your, Confessionals podcast.
Thanks, man.
The new studio looks amazing.
I appreciate
it. So, I just appreciate everything you're doing, man.
Dude, I'm glad you're here. I want to let the audience know kind of how we got connected. So first of all, before I met you, I saw you on Alan DiDio's channel.
He's a good guy.
And I didn't know much about you. I just saw you talking about UFOs and I was like, this guy seems like up my alley, you know? and I never got around to looking into reaching out and stuff. I'm really bad with that stuff. And then to my surprise, I was sitting at the conference You come walking in through the door. It's like, hey, that's the guy from YouTube.
You know? Is that how it goes these days, right?
Yeah. And we got to talking and stuff and we hit it off. But It turns out you live in the Nashville area.
I do.
And it, but you haven't started out there, right?
No.
You've been all over the world.
It's been a journey. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to introduce the audience to you today as far as who you are, where you come from, your background. I guess we can start forward though, and as to what you're doing today, and then we can kind of go into your history. So if you let people know, you know, a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm pastoring in Nashville. We have a podcast and a radio show. Mario Murillo and I do a show called Firepower, which actually has got a lot of traction online. We didn't really know what was going to happen, but the Lord has just kind of taken it off. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
My heart is to get people saved. And that's because I had a radical encounter with God. I pastor, evangelist, last thing that Todd Coconato ever aspired to be. In fact, my mom is super, what I thought, religious. Mm. And so I kind of ran from that because there was a lot of contention in my home growing up. And so I got involved in Hollywood at a young age. And then long story short, I got really caught up out there and started partying with a bunch of people. They call it young Hollywood. I saw a lot of stuff go on in the industry, new people that were famous. As I always say, I wasn't famous, but I was on shows and different things like that. And I just got into a real dark lifestyle at a young age. And then real short version of a long testimony, but I got stabbed 9 times. And I don't know if you knew that about me.
Jeez.
So
that sounds like Paul Pierce. I think he was stabbed 9 times too outside of a club.
Man.
You hanging out with the same guy?
I do find other people that have had things like this happen. That's crazy. That's wild. Because 9 times, that's a lot of stabs. Yeah. I was just.
Happened there? What's the story there?
So for like 2 years, I became a Christian out of that Hollywood lifestyle. It happened at a conference where I just, somebody dragged me to this Christian conference and ended up getting saved. And so then I go back and, so for like 2 years, I just tell people I was in this like Christian limbo because I had come out of Hollywood. I had a lot of friends there in the world. I had a lot of connections there and I was making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Right. And then once I get saved, I have to basically change everything. I have to give up everything because things I was doing was not anything that a Christian would do. It was all dark stuff, you know? So I went back to minimum wage. I had to move home with my parents. It was embarrassing. It was humbling.
Yeah.
After living in a really nice condo with nice cars and making good money, So it was a real life change. And so for 2 years, I tried to make friends in the church. And I'm going to tell you, I have a lot of sympathy for people that are coming out of the world and that have had an encounter with God and try to get into the church. Because some churches aren't so welcoming. I would sit in the foyer of the church for a little while. And it was like the people were just, a different type of person than I was. I was coming out of the underground Hollywood scene, So it was hard for me to relate. And thank God there was these greeters that would say hi to me. That made me feel a little bit welcome.
The greeters.
But, I think everybody, because if you've been in church for a long time, you don't think about this stuff, or if you kind of grew up in the church or whatever, or even if like we're in the South, a lot of people grew up in the church, but maybe they weren't like super on fire for God, but they still were in the culture of the church. So, but for me, it was like super foreign because in LA, there's not really that element. You're either Christian or you're not, you know? So it's much different there than it is kind of in some other parts of the country, right? So, if you found the Christians there, it's probably more remnant people, So anyway, it was a big life change. So what happened is I ended up one night, going back to my old crowd, and that was the night I ended up getting stabbed. And I wasn't making smart decisions. I was making stupid decisions at that time too. But, the bottom line is it got me to, a place where there was a guy that came out and he had a knife and I wasn't even prepared. I didn't even know what was going on and stabbed me. And one of the first stabs was in my heart.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so, it's like I could fight. I was a good fighter. But the problem was once you get stabbed in the heart, it's hard, So
it's the kind of thing that pumps the blood,
Yeah, man. And that's kind of what was happening. Blood was like, anyway, I don't want to get gory here.
It's coming out holes that shouldn't be coming.
It looked like a movie. It was a movie scene. And so here's the thing. The guy that stabbed me ended up realizing, I think, like, oh my God, I could kill this guy. And something must have snapped in his head or whatever. And so he ended up picking me up and putting me in my car. Yeah, and I never told you this story, did I? He put me in my own car and drove me to a hospital with his girlfriend in the front seat. So I'm like in the middle seat.
Did he know you?
No.
It was like a random attack?
It was a random attack, but there was probably some type of misunderstanding. And I think he was maybe at least drunk, under the influence of some other drugs probably too. So, not really thinking correctly. Yeah, man. So, but, he took me to the hospital and then he left me like a movie scene. On the way to the hospital, I go into the presence of God It was like, I knew that I was either dead or, you know, almost dead, but I went in the presence of God. And so the Lord says, do you want to live or do you want to die? And I said, I want to live. I didn't like see God. I just heard this voice. You kind of know. I mean, it was like tunnel vision. And then I went into like a white presence.
Okay.
And I heard the Lord say, do you want to live or do you want to die? And so, you know, what do you say when you're young and you know, you haven't had kids yet, you want to get married? I mean, I want to live. Okay. If you live, then you got to do two things. You got to be sold out for me for the rest of your life. In other words, you got to serve me the rest of your life. And you got to tell people that I'm real. And so it was like, there's a chapter in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 6, and it says, I saw the Lord seated on the throne and the train of his robe. Remember that scripture? Mm-hmm. Train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah, anybody that's ever been in the presence of God like that, you know, he was undone. That's what it's like. The holiness of God. When you're in the presence of God, there, it's like you can never, ever forget what that feels like, because it's so powerful. This is why, like, there's a fake version of Christianity that doesn't have the power. Mm-hmm. And then if there's the real, like, if you have an encounter and you touch the hem of his garment, you actually say, I want you, God. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
We got to say, I want you, God. Reveal yourself to me, because we have free will, you know? So anyway, I'm in the presence of God, like Isaiah 6.
That's crazy.
So once I come out of that, brother, it was like my whole life was forever changed. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter what people do. Doesn't matter what happens in the world. Like, I know God is real. I know I have a mission, you know? So it changed my life forever. I ended up going to Bible school, and that's how I ended up getting in the ministry.
Wow.
But God has opened so many doors over the years, so much favor, and just allowing me to go back and talk to people like myself and understand what it was like to come in the Christian world and understand some of the challenges from that lifestyle, because it's a real big life change. You
yeah.
know? Yeah.
That's wild. So I really enjoy listening to different preachers preach and teach. And when I say different, I mean like from different theological paths, right?
Yeah.
So like Vodi is one of them, Bakum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love Vodi Bakum.
Yeah. He's a bold man.
Very. And I almost said raised. I lived with, at a Pentecostal Assemblies of God Bible college, I roomed with a bunch of Calvinists.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so like, I don't know how that happened, but like, there was a lot of Calvinists where I lived at the dorm floor. And so I got this mixed theological perspective, sure. right? And I was introduced to John Piper.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't agree with John Piper on a lot of his theological right. things, but there are some of them that like his teaching is so infectious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I understand.
And I hear him talking about the presence of God.
Yes.
And what that if from his perspective would be like,
right?
And hearing you talk about that and just the excitement that you just shared, I was like, I think Piper might've been on point for that one. Cause Piper said, I remember him saying this, and I've talked to my church about this. He says that, you know, because God is so, he's omnipotent.
Right.
He's so, huge, that we can't as finite beings, totally comprehend an infinite God.
Right.
And so when we're in his presence, he said for eternity, every moment of eternity in his presence is going to be a brand new moment experiencing his grace and presence that we never even experienced before.
That's right.
And when I heard him talk about that, I was like, holy crap. That's wild.
Right?
Right? Like, like think about like the most, like the strongest spiritual high you've ever had in your life, whether you're a Christian or not Christian right now, like the strongest you've ever felt on a spiritual high that pales in comparison to just one like fraction of a second in eternity in the presence of God. That's crazy.
Isn't that wild?
It's crazy.
And this was a message that for the early church, they always talked about the afterlife. They, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain. It was a major message in the early Christian church. And look what's happened, where now it's been more entertainment focused. I hate to say it, but what can I get out of being a Christian? You know, what's going to happen? Like what good thing, which there are good things because you are going to have the favor of God, but that's not, you know, really what we're originally, the Bible was talking about. You know, hey, look, we're going to be representatives of Jesus here on earth. We're going to be the salt and the light. We're going to go through trials, tests, persecution. Mm-hmm. It's going to be crazy. People are going to turn on us just for the name of Jesus. But here's the thing. I'm going to be with you till the end of the age. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. But he's laying out the real Christian life. But what you just said, and I love it because you're just hitting all the points today, man. What you said is like, imagine if the church started talking about the streets of gold, where we're headed. It couldn't be a better place.
Yeah.
Like God is so good that there's no better than where a Christian is headed. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, your future is the absolute best. So that's where we understand we're just passing through this world. Mm-hmm. We're citizens of heaven, you know? And so that's the deal. Always living in view of eternity, but while we're here doing the work of the Lord.
Yeah. You know, and I find that, people, I guess, their ears are tickled by different things, right? Yeah,
sure.
And I just did an episode a few weeks back. I think we published it with Rick Renner.
Oh yeah,
and
love Pastor Rick.
Yeah. We spent a large amount of that time. I think more than I think more than what he was hoping for, but I couldn't help myself on Noah's Ark.
Oh yeah,
and the location, and because I remember at one point he brought in the Nephilim, and I was like, we'll get back to the Nephilim. It's like I have some more questions about this, Noah's Ark, yeah. But like that episode, from what I heard, I haven't looked into it too much, but I know like the Instagram reels popped off hard, yeah. And I think there's and maybe it's just unique to this kind of audience that is really interested in the mysterious side of life.
Right.
The idea of discovery of ancient old things,
yes.
And like locations like that. Right. Yes. And so I've been considering, there's a couple biblical archaeologists that like, there's one guy, I forget his name now, of course it's escaping me, but he has almost like 1 million subscribers on YouTube.
Wow.
And he travels the world looking for things out of the Bible and locating them and showing them to the world. And he says,
yep.
Like, it's literally, you have a map right in front of you. Like the Bible is your map. And there, if you know how to read the map, it takes you to the doorsteps of these locations.
Right.
And so like, I'm considering, you know, maybe going down that road and doing some more of those kind of conversations, sure, with people that have traveled the world doing that stuff. Because again, like it kind of comes back to what we were talking about. Like people, like they're coming to this understanding that they are spiritual beings.
Yes.
And like as a Christian, I'm like, yes, people are realizing this.
Right.
You know? And now
it's an awakening.
Yeah, I want to kind of introduce them to the next level of everything, you know? And so I'm trying, yeah, to think of how I can kind of do that and also keep people interested who maybe, you know, they're not interested in, you know, my faith as much as, hey, that's really interesting though. You found the ancient city of Nineveh, like, you know?
Yes. It's all connected though.
Yeah.
See, that's what, if we come to understand that this is the reality of the world, we're truth seekers. So, you know, when we're talking about Nephilim or what's going on, is there an alien situation happening? Or a lot of the things that are real, you know, a lot of people are interested in right now, which they should be. It all comes back to the same thing though. The Bible has already laid this out,
yeah,
laid out what's going to happen, how it's going to happen. There's going to be people that are deceived. There's going to be different, you know, the different Christs that are not the Christ, you know, different winds of doctrine, which we're seeing happening right now. People are going to be chasing all these different, I mean, the Bible laid it all out. But he said, look, those that endure until the end, though, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that's the group that if you do that, the power of God. And so when I, you know, like, oh, this is a preacher, that's what he's going to talk about. But see, you said, like, how do you bridge that gap? When we as truth seekers are like, you know what? This is the reality of the world. And yeah, if I'm searching for truth, if I start looking into this more, what's going to happen is every time you do, you're going to find more truth. You're just going to keep unlocking more truth. Like you said, locations, prophecy. I mean, what kind of book is written not long ago,
yeah,
and is able to never proven wrong? Mm-hmm. I mean, I wrote a book like a couple, you know, a year or so ago, and my books are, I mean, in a couple of years, there's going to be things that are probably outdated in there.
It, by the way, your book is Come Out From Among Them.
Yes, sir.
Check it out, people. They can buy it on Amazon and things like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's just on Amazon.
Yeah, yep. So Jack, put this, thank up on you, camera real quick. There we go.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. No, I think that, you know, there's this awestruckness when it comes to historical evidence of supernatural things happening.
Right.
Right. And so what if you can prove that there's a location that where the Bible says something happened where like a fire fell from heaven?
Yeah.
You know, what if you can take people there and show them, look at the melted sand,
right?
You know, look at the Red Sea and the chariots underneath the Red Sea, you yes. know, and there's, and how the Red Sea,
wow.
where these chariots are sitting, it just so happens to be the only spot of the Red Sea that people, if the water did part, could cross.
Exactly.
They could actually walk across it. There's no cliffs and stuff, you know?
Right.
And so it kind of puts things in, it's like, okay, you know, and whether I personally, this is my personal opinion, I think whether you are interested in, you know, Christianity or not, that kind of stuff's interesting. Like just
exactly.
being somebody who lives on planet Earth, having these ancient manuscripts saying these wild claims,
that's right.
and then being able to thousands of years later go back and be like, that there's a high probability that that is actually a location that this happened at.
What are the odds?
And then makes you wonder, it's like, well, what else is real? You know,
that's it, man. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, probability standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, I go back to that, a book that was written so many people say, well, there's all these different authors. And look, God had it where it was put together and it corroborates with itself all the way through, you know, and the Lord he shows his persona to us. So that, like you said, if we get into the Bible, I've never seen, and I've been around very wealthy people, very successful people, people in the political world. The Lord has done some interesting things in my life where I've been around a lot of people. But if I've never seen somebody that goes into the Bible and becomes a lover of the Bible and learns the Bible and applies mm-hmm. the Bible, I've never seen one of those people be unsuccessful. I've never seen that person be unfulfilled. That person will be a solid person because you have wisdom that only comes from God and from His Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fulfillment, like you said, is the thing that I chase. That's the thing I chase. Like, I just want fulfillment in this life,
yes.
you know, and I've chased fulfillment in so many things throughout my life. And the only thing that I literally can come back to and say, if I lose everything in my life, I still have this, which is Christ.
Right.
Like that feeling that I have in those moments where I acknowledge that is so fulfilling.
Yes.
And it can't be taken away from me. Like,
no matter what,
I can be put in a camp somewhere. It doesn't matter.
That's
like,
right.
And when you have that, you literally have never ending joy that yes. surpasses all understanding.
Come on, man.
You know, so
you got it. That's the fire.
Yeah.
That's what people, if you have a joy in the middle of a trial, that's the fire of God in you.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it otherwise. When the Lord talks about a peace that passes understanding, it's a shalom that comes on a person that they can handle anything. You know what I'm saying? And that only is God given. Like, He's our strength. He's got to be. If we try to do it on our own strength, we're going to fail.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely. What a lot of people try to do, you know?
For sure. I mean, I think at some point in everybody's life, they go through seasons like that, you know?
Yep.
The reason why I pause here is because I just realized my pastor, he gave his life to the Lord, but I think he was 4.
Okay.
Well, and I was like, well, maybe he didn't, you know? Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, that's kind of early. All right. Let's kind of backtrack a little bit here and talk about, because I definitely want to hit on UFOs, but I want to talk about Hollywood a little bit too, because yeah. there's a lot of things going on right now with Hollywood that I think people are starting to realize that there's a dark underbelly.
Yeah.
Obviously P. Diddy
right.
and that whole situation. And I think there's like there's a domino effect that happens with this yeah. where when something becomes put into light, that's irrefutable, like the P. Diddy situation,
right.
You start, anybody who looks into it, then starts seeing other things that are red flags too. And they're like,
yeah.
wait a second.
Yeah. That's why they don't want people looking into it.
Yeah. 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 So like, I mean, for years, we talk about like the Super Bowl and the halftime show.
Right.
And if you remember, like probably like 5 years ago now, Beyonce performed oh, yeah. and the symbolism wasn't even subtle.
No.
It wasn't even subtle.
So in our face.
It was in your face.
Yeah.
And it's becoming, I think, from my perspective, more and more on the surface, showing the cards, this is a satanic
yep.
Industry.
Yep.
And not to say that all people there are satanic, but the operator, the underlying operator to me from the
That's
outside
correct.
Looking in is very satanic.
Yeah.
Did you see that kind of stuff while you were there?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. So what was it, something that you were aware of while you were there, or it was something that you, like, looking back, you were like, oh, that's what that was?
Probably more looking back, that's what that was. But mm-hmm. there's a level. See, this is where I think every human being has a blueprint inside of us where we inherently kind of know what's good and what's evil. And I think that's what begins our faith journey, you know, and the decision as a free will individual, like, do I want to go on a faith journey? Do I want to seek God, or do I want to just, you know, ignore God and pretend like he's not, you know? So people have to make a choice. But, you know, I, in the middle of the dark, it was so dark at times where I just, as a child, I remember going back and just thinking like, this is, you know, something's wrong here. You know, have you ever felt like that? Remember when you were a kid and then there was like a weird person, or they were a creep or something? And
I lived in a trailer park. There's a lot of those.
You know what I'm saying? And you had like this inherent feeling like this person's a bad person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your discernment, you know? And so that's what I would feel like. And I just didn't know how to process it. We were Catholic at the time. But, you know, it's a much different experience. We would go to the Catholic church once in a while, but it's like kind of stand up, sit down. I'm not mocking or knocking Catholics. I'm just telling you, that was kind of my experience. I didn't really know until I really had an encounter with God, you know? So, so there was, I knew there was a God, but that was about the end of it. You know, I maybe prayed one or two times in my life, you know? But there was times when I just felt such darkness, and I knew there was a lot going on that was very evil. And so looking back and hearing things that's now coming out, I experienced some of those things, you know?
So how old were you when you started in the industry?
I was like eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
And when did you get out of it?
I was in my teens.
Your teens?
Yeah.
So like late teens, early teens?
Like mid-teens.
Mid-teens?
Yeah.
So you, let's just say you spend about 8 years in the industry.
I would say around that, yeah.
Did you come across, and I don't need you to name names or anything.
Right.
Like, I'm not trying to get sued.
No.
But did you come across anybody in that time where, looking back, it's been shown and proven, hey, that person, they do things to kids or something like that?
I mean,
like I'm assuming,
thankfully not to
with
me,
with what you just, God. With what you just said, it sounds like, looking back, you're like, oh, that person probably
here's was pervy. Like a scenario, like you go into casting, you know, and then, you know, they talk about the casting couch.
Yeah.
Why would agents say, or like people that are in that casting room, why would they say your mom has to stay out of the room when you're 8 years old, you know, and bring you into a room with like all these adults kind of judging you and saying things that are inappropriate, you know? That type of thing happens a lot in Hollywood. You know, I don't know, maybe now it may be different with some of the stuff that's now come out, but that was going on when I was a kid, you know? So there was just looking back where some of the handlers and the people on set, and, you know, there was weird stuff going on.
Yeah. No, anytime you ask somebody to send their kid into a room with a bunch of adults to be judged, without mom, that's kind of weird.
That's right.
It's definitely kind of weird.
Yeah. And there's your very godless people, many of them. And I'm sure there's some perverts mixed in there and things like that, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think, from my perspective, I don't think it's changed, even if things are coming out.
Probably not.
I think maybe they changed locations, you know, like they maybe, you know, pulling a different page out of the strategy book.
Let's go to a deeper level here. You know, why is it so dark? So you look up Operation Mockingbird and the Church Commission. I'm sure you've talked about that with your viewers probably in the past. But, you know, these were proven hearings where the government says they've interfered in the media. And they have people in the media and people. And so that was years ago. I mean, that was like many, many years ago. They probably never stopped that. In fact, if anything, it probably got more to where we're things that they call predictive programming, but they put out different messages and propaganda through a lot of the messaging that comes out of Hollywood. I mean, just look at the last election cycle. You know, look how some of these famous people all rallied around Kamala Harris, you know, because she was more the establishment person, you know, that was part of this whole same system. You know what I'm saying? So what is Hollywood? What is the purpose, at least now? You know, if Hollywood is like a mouthpiece for an agenda, okay, let's just go there and let's just say hypothetically that's the case, right?
Yeah, quote unquote hypothetically.
Yeah. Allegedly. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, let's just say that though, at least to some level, because we know that there's historical precedent for this with the Church Commission and Operation Mockingbird, right? Which we don't think has stopped. So how deep is it at this point? When you look at the military-industrial complex, you look at the globalists and a lot of these entities that even President Trump, I feel like, is up against, right? And now he's coming in and there's a big shift going on. But what is all this? This is all spiritual. Everything that's playing out, I mean, people are saying that men can be, you know, women and women. I mean, all this stuff is spiritual. And going after kids and... So I think we all have to kind of come to a reality of where we're at right now, because there's been a lot of stuff that's come out. It's like an information explosion. And I think the Lord has used the internet, and maybe it was an unintended consequence that the other people didn't know was going to happen. But look what's happened in the internet age, where things that were for, you know, decades, like the mainstream media, where people just believed everything they said. And it was a small group of people steering the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Now, look at alternative media and podcasting and folks that are truth speakers. And there's like this explosion of information that's happened. And that's what's leading us back to a spiritual decision. Mm. Like, now that we have all the evidence, I mean, you said in the beginning of the broadcast, we're like, these entities are now going to be coming out. It's like not even hiding anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's wild. Like, what are we going to see? The Bible says like the days of Noah. What's that going to look like? You know, is it going to be a faked alien invasion? Is it going to be, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that could potentially be. Mm-hmm. But the Bible talks about a great deception in the last days, you know, and I think we're coming, so we're coming to the head of, like, it's like the apex in the movie, you know, it's like, we're coming to the exciting part, but get ready, put on the armor of God and be real, you know?
Yeah. I can't think of the name of this document. It was adjusted in 2012 and something, I can't remember, but it literally made propaganda legal to be utilized on American citizens.
During the Obama administration.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And since then, you can literally see that shift.
That's right.
You can literally see that shift.
Big time.
And maybe it's overplaying hands. You know, like when the pendulum swings really hard one way, it tends to swing back.
That's true.
And I feel like we're kind of experiencing that.
Yes.
And I don't think what you referenced just now was before, I think that was before we actually started this recording, but what you were referencing is like, I feel like we're in a time where these things are going to start showing their faces. And, you know, we talk about a lot of wild stuff on the show.
Right.
And people have been experiencing, things that they can't explain.
Yes.
Anything from, you know, cryptozoology to the dog man, the UFO, or the Bigfoot, these creatures that theoretically shouldn't exist, to abductions and, the mind bending trip that goes on with the abduction stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you talk about UFOs and all that. I don't know the extent of, I don't know how you got involved in talking about UFOs. So I'd like to hear that. But like, I guess maybe to start off in this direction with things, I don't want to move away from Hollywood if there's more to, we can kind of navigate around and stuff. But have you come across situations when it comes to the UFO topic, and let's just pair UFO with abduction, all that stuff. Right. Have you come across situations that made you scratch your head to a point where, like, how is, like, it seems like this actually happened, and how is that possible? Yeah. And I'll give you an example, because recently, it's been on the show a few times now. I know twice with a woman, her name's Fringe from X. But I think somebody else brought something up recently too. This idea that during the abduction, these entities, now she's going through these abductions, and her story is basically a long story, very short.
Yeah.
In 2020, she's a retired police officer. In 2020, she found herself sitting at home because she wasn't allowed to do anything in Idaho, I think, for a 2-week period. Right. So she started journaling her dreams that she thought were dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
And turns out through the journaling, revealing things, she realized these aren't dreams. These are actually happening to me.
Wow.
And her husband has shared experiences. And she talks about a lot of different things. But one of the things she talks about is this idea that these entities, and I say entities very strategically, sure, because she went from a Calvinistic background to atheistic, because when she started having these revelations, she's like, oh my gosh, like, and she went to like atheism and then into New Age. And then with these spirit guides talking to her, she connected dots. She's like, wait, if you're telling me that and that's true, that means God is true. And she went right back into the grace of God.
Come on.
And so she has these experiences that she's talking about from a Christian perspective.
Okay.
She says that she experienced or she's seen it, or something with this idea of soul sucking. They have technology in these other realms that are like sucking the souls out of people and repurposing them,
wow.
which goes into her theory of the possibility of this idea of reincarnation. And when you hear that, you're like, that's wild. You know, like I've told her, I was like that. I don't even know how to perceive that. Right. Until a few weeks ago, I had a guy in here, his name's Seth. He's from Virginia. And we were talking about ancient historical dog man. And yeah. thousands of years, there's been documentation of explorers and stuff coming across people that have dog heads. He has the Latin documents that he's been going through.
Yeah.
It's wild. Right. And it's all covered up stuff. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow we got on this topic. And he recently just got hired by his church just to answer Bible questions, because they have so many people asking Bible questions that right. they're like, hey, you're 25, you're single, you're not married,
people are hungry.
And you seem to really like this stuff. You want to, and they're like, yeah. So he went from doing like cybersecurity to working at his church answering Bible questions.
That's amazing.
So his job is to study.
I love it.
And he, when I brought this up, he referred to, he goes, Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel 18:13. And, it's a prophecy. It's talking about, I don't know if it's a prophecy actually, but it says basically that I think God's talking to female witches. And it says, like, it talks about them making bands for the wrists, magical bands for their wrists, where they are hunting for the souls of his people.
Wow.
And I was just like, well, that's interesting. And then I pair it with things like this. So... Hey guys, this episode is brought to you by MerkMerch.com. Go ahead and get your Merkle Media apparel at MerkMerch.com. We got some new hoodies up there on the store. Go ahead and check it out. Cop yours before it's too late. Also, MerkleFilms.com is where you can get your on-demand streaming of documentaries we've put out, and we have new content from other creators coming to that site very soon. MerkleFilms.com. You know, I'm friends with Tim Alberino.
Yeah.
And Tim has...
That's good work.
Yeah, yeah, great work. It's a very smart person.
Yes.
If you had told me I had to pick one thought,
right,
it wouldn't be what Tim talks about a lot, which is that aliens are I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he talks a lot about the idea of aliens actually being from somewhere else, okay. like far off, you know. But he talks about it from like, if you adopt a Christ-centric view of the universe, and where Christ is the center of everything, we're just a spoke in the wheel.
Sure.
It allows room for that. Now I come from, I'm thinking these things are more interdimensional, demonic,
that's my
old
process.
Gods, yeah. things like that.
Yeah.
If that's true, what I just said, what I think is true, people are experiencing UFOs in the sky, right?
Right.
We've seen on video pictures, physical crafts.
Yep.
If they're coming from another dimension, it means that they're building technology in another dimension and bringing it here.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
And so it's like, all right, so is it that far of a stretch? Because what they're bringing here seems very magical, supernatural.
Yeah. Yeah.
If what they're bringing here, it seems by video and pictures to be a physical thing.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's a light being,
yeah,
but
like the orbs.
And, right. Yeah. Like it looks metallic.
Right.
Could they build other things other than UFOs in other dimensions and bring it here?
I mean, it's possible.
So I just went really weird on you. All of it to go back to say to you, in your looking into this stuff, have you come across situations where you're scratching your head and you're like, and it's really challenging you theologically?
Sure. Absolutely. I think that's actually what it's meant to do. Because if you're thinking about there's going to be a great deception, it has to be something that's deep and hard to explain theologically.
Yeah.
Like you said, enough to where it's kind of like in a courtroom, reasonable doubt, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what the enemy wants. So if this is the great deception, let's just say if like they try to pull off some big alien invasion with Project Bluebeam and who knows what else that they're doing, you know, what would the big result for that? What would their goal be? To me, I think it would be to bring the religions of the world together and to move in some type of one world government structure.
Mm.
But remember, Reagan even said like it would take, you know,
an alien invasion.
Right? I mean, you know, there's people that have been in elite circles for a long period of time that have said that this has been one of the playbooks of the elite, that they, mm-hmm. that they're, you know, that there's whistleblowers that have come out and talked about, you know, this is going to happen. Right. So, it's just interesting. We're seeing an uptick in this, And now let's go to the spiritual side of it. You know, you have something like CERN, you know, where they're saying that portals are being open and they're saying that something may even come through. Mm-hmm. What if, let's just, who, first of all, where does the money come? Has anybody ever thought about it? That thing is so expensive.
Yeah.
Where is the money? Who is funding CERN? And then you have all these black budgets and everything, but you just got to wonder, like, who comes up with the capital to fund something like that? Because this thing's going all, you know, kilometers. I mean, real big. And I think they're even building a bigger one now. But they said, I mean, these scientists are on record saying, we don't even know what's going to come out. We don't even know if we're speaking, you know. And so, and by the way, the tunnel opening ceremonies and all the things that were going on around that time, the goddess Shiva. I mean, there's so many different spiritual signs when you think about this. So let me just go on a limb here. But what if there's a technology that's somehow bringing entities through like an end time thing, you know, in, as in the days of Noah, because we talk about Genesis 6.
Yeah.
And obviously there were these, you know, these watchers and these Nephilim and all these things. So how did that happen? It, you know, the Bible tells us that if you read the book of Enoch, which isn't, you know, obviously a canonized book,
sure,
but there's a little bit more explaining there that some people say that's probably what it is, you know, but whether you believe that or not, it's probable. It's certainly, it could be the case.
The writers of the New Testament quoted it right in Jude.
Yeah. So there's, you know,
they at least read it.
I mean,
they at least read it.
There's some things about, but that's why they didn't put it in the canonized version. Cause there were some things that some scholars said were heretical in there. But, I think that it would make sense to think that demonic beings would give a technology to people that are channeling them, like a Adolf Hitler. Mm. Think about it. He had that bell and he had some kind of interesting technologies. Yeah. Were they, was he, I mean, he was a Satanist.
Yeah.
So he was an occultist, you know, so were they speaking to demonic beings that were giving them technology? Is that what's happening now? Are the elites at a high level communicating with some type of demonic force that's giving them information? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's, could be, right? At the end of the age?
100% are. Like, 100% are. Like, we don't go on limbs here. We just say it. Like, it is what it is, you know?
So how bizarre. If that's the reality, like, that is so out there to so many people. Like, you know.
So, what you're saying, like, with the elites and all that stuff, like, people, you know, all right, so there's breadcrumbs that get thrown out over time.
Right.
And we often forget about it because we live in a society and a culture which is so fast with its information, you forget about certain things. One thing that I can't forget about is the fact that we have the Hillary Clinton emails, and in one of her emails, now they believe that the name that sent this email was an alias used by Hillary because of the frequency out of her email server, this name was used. Mm. But whoever this was, whether it was her or somebody else on her server, emailed, and all we have is the subject line. Actually, I think I have it here on my phone because I'm weird like that. let me just see if I can pull it up here. Because if I can find it real quick here, here we go. All we have is the subject line. We don't have the actual email.
Right.
And it says here, it's small print, requesting documents pertaining to the resurrection chamber of Gilgamesh, the location of his body and the location of the buried Nephilim. Dentra Sangar, like
in a Hillary Clinton email.
In her emails that from the private server that she had.
Sure.
So like that, like,
which you're talking, by the way, about the one that was bleached that we never could see. And, you know,
exactly.
Which is so amazing.
Exactly. And so like you talk about like these elites and stuff having access to this information and things like 100%. Like 100.
The WikiLeaks was so, so much came out in that. Yeah. That's why, you know, it was such a disruption.
Yeah.
Look at Epstein. And now you mentioned P. Diddy. I mean, these are all kind of.
Yeah. Do you think that the P. Diddy thing is directly connected to Epstein? Or do you think that it's just like two of the similar type guys operating in high power positions?
I mean, I could tell you what like some of the commentators are saying, which would make sense. Uh-huh. But you know, some people have said that like the Epstein thing was like an operation to have information on everybody. You know, I don't know necessarily that was what was going on with P. Diddy, but I don't know if that would make sense too. I mean,
Diddy's just a sick son of a gun.
I think more probably along those lines.
just a sicko.
Just the evil in the Hollywood world that's coming out of how deep it is, you know, and that kind of thing is happening. But I don't know if it was like some operation. Like, I mean, I think the other one's more probable.
Did you hear I think it just came out recently. Yeah, it did. Because did you hear about Jamie Foxx with this whole thing?
I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like from what I understand, that's why P. Diddy's addressed it because he reported them to, for the people listening right now, supposedly, and I haven't seen the special, but Jamie Foxx said in his special on Netflix, I think it is, that he was poisoned by P. Diddy.
I heard that.
And he called the FBI on P. Diddy.
Wow.
And now people are like, well, is that a joke or whatever? And somebody, I was listening to somebody talk about this and they made a good point. And the point was, even if P. Diddy's in jail right now and he's, you know, being in trouble for all this stuff, to lie about that and defame somebody, if it didn't happen,
yeah,
I think he could probably still sue you.
Right.
You know, oh, he could. There's sure. legal action. So like, I don't know, given the information we have, I tend to believe, cause like Jamie Foxx was, I think in 2023 had that mysterious illness. Everybody was saying, oh, the vaccine. Yeah. Maybe he was poisoned by Diddy.
Wouldn't be that far out there to believe that these right? days, right? I mean, look at the Hillary Clinton situation with all the people around her. I mean, all yeah. coincidental. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, you know? So I think there's an exposure that's happening right now.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, is the Lord. You know, if this country were to have a revival as new life, that means we got to go back to our first love, right? Mm. Let's say we do that. If my people, right, are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. Is that the whole country has to do that? Not really. It's actually the church, the people of God. So if the church says, you know what, let's get out of the gimmicks, let's get out of the church growth strategies and
back to the real,
you know,
stuff.
Let's really seek the heart of God, you know, the whole nation would change because the church is like the heartbeat of the nation. You know what I'm saying? We're the conscience of the nation.
Yeah.
And that we're supposed to be the head and not the tail, you know? So it's like, I think that everything is manifesting. There's a spirit of Antichrist that's rising and we're going to see things that are so bizarre and so wild that it's almost like we're not even going to believe our eyes, you know? But at the same time, there's going to be this powerful move of God, this end time revival where miracles and signs and wonders are happening. And so it's almost like these two simultaneous revolutions. You got this crazy situation that everybody feels it. Like, yeah. you know, I mean, even the last couple of years, like the level of like, you know, you just feel like something's going on in the world. You know, everybody feels it. That's why people are buying Bibles. That's why people are hungry. Because they're like, something is going on, you know? Yeah. I mean, we feel like it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and so 100%. I think humanity is just, and it's this crazy two simultaneous revolution. So which one are we going to be a part of?
You know? The final countdown.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's what it feels like. Wild. It's like, oh, let's watch this epic battle. No, and you mentioned about the record. I think this is before we were recording as well, but you mentioned about how there was a record. There's record sales in Bible buying right now. And I even see it like in my own friends. Like I have a friend that just wasn't a Christian.
Right.
And I remember this was a couple of years ago. He's like, yeah, I went out and bought a couple of Bibles. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, I bought a King James and this, that, and the other. And he's like, I think I'm just going to start reading it. I'm like, okay.
Right.
And so I just, you know, he starts reading it. And over time, he's asking questions and we've always had conversations about it.
Yeah,
and, and he would say things that, you know, I would have rebuttals on kind of thing.
Right.
And then he got the Bibles and then he's reading and I'm just, you know, like, I'm not like, hey, have you read your Bible this morning? I'm just, you know, whenever he brings it up, we talk.
Right.
Years go by. And then about a year ago, I'd say, we're talking on the phone and he says something about, you know, the Bible or whatever. And then he goes, there's a pause and he's like, well, I guess I'm a Christian now. And I was like,
yeah,
awesome, man.
Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. But it's that hunger. And people just finding themselves buying Bibles and just looking for answers. And they're like, listen, today's modern culture and society doesn't seem to be fulfilling me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be giving me the answers that I feel in my gut are out there.
Right.
So if it's today's modern society not fulfilling, maybe the societies in ancient days of the past will have that answer. I think that's the underlying motivations with that. And people are looking to ancient scriptures. They're That's looking right. to ancient knowledge. That's why I think they're so fascinated with the idea of like, where did the pyramids come from? Right. Why are there pyramids all over the world?
Sure.
You know, and all this ancient idea that was there advanced technology back then?
Atlantis.
You know, right? Yeah. It's because they want to know where we came from.
Right.
That's probably like one of the most ultimate questions we have as humanity. Where did this all come from?
That's
where,
right.
like we understand the logic of things. Like I had a beginning because something happened, you know, 39 years ago, you know, like right. everything has a beginning. Where did all this actually begin?
Right.
Like, well, there was just this big bang and nothing was there. And then I was, but nothing is still something.
You have to have more faith to believe that. Where did all of this come from?
And then it's like with these age old questions that people are hungry for, mm-hmm. you know? And I you were saying this
the on fire.
Several things.
You're preaching over there.
Am I? I'm just
more
talking.
More than a lot of preachers.
I'm just talking, man. I'm not preaching. Don't put that on me.
You know what it is, though? You got a passion
because
you've had an encounter. And I think what happens is when you see another person that's had an encounter like that, you're like, I get it. That's where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what's happening. But let's go to that question. It takes way more faith than a Christian needs to have to believe that something came from nothing. I saw somebody, they were asking AI, I think it was like ChatGPT or something, but they were asking, they said, what do you think about where things came from? In other words, the intelligent design or whatever. And it started talking about probability factor and how it's way more probable that there's an intelligent being that created, not even comparable.
Yeah.
And even AI is coming up with that answer. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But the bottom line is that is the answer. I mean, and then once you realize that and you tap in to that power supply, I mean, talk about wisdom, discernment. That's what you said, like the word. When you hunger for the word, which is this ancient knowledge that God gave us, it puts you in a position of favor. And you go into a whole nother, I mean, as long as you're obedient to God and you follow the calling on your life and you really have a desire to please him, you're a repentant person. Mm-hmm. You know, when you do that, what he does, he puts this favor and anointing on your life. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have warfare. Oh, you're going to have warfare.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be intense. But the thing is that God will always be enough. He's more than enough, you know, and he guides your path and he orders your steps and he takes care of your family and he protects you and he gives you the wisdom and the strength that you need, because the world is crazy and it's on fire. And for us to go forward and to be successful, we have to be spirit led. So if you're a truth seeker, if you're hungry, and you're searching right now, don't even worry about religion. It's about a relationship. It's about a connection with the God of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
You know, people will let you down. You know, I think you were mentioning Piper earlier, you know, and it's like, you know, look, if Piper loves the Lord, he's brethren. There's no denominations in heaven.
Right.
You know,
right.
How we're known? We're known by our love and we're known by our fruit.
Yeah.
So if we exude the fruit of the Spirit, we have the love of God. We have the joy that you spoke about, the peace that passes understanding. You're in Christ. You're brethren. You know, and so I don't align myself with heretics, but I, you know, if someone's a brethren, I don't ask like, are you a Calvinist? Or, seriously, because in heaven, it's like you either make it or you don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think talking about like this ancient knowledge and stuff, I think there's also, and I've been in this industry for 8 years now, as a podcaster, where I've been able to, you know, be exposed to people's, psyche on this stuff.
Right.
And there seems to be, an interest, a desire for people. And again, a lot of this is underlying. You don't acknowledge it as a thought process, but it seems like there's this desire for people that the hunger of knowledge, but to be able to walk and not in an egotistical way, but to be able to walk around in your everyday life, knowing that you know something other people don't. You know, like you walk out, like for me as a truck driver, I used to do deliveries and you get out of the truck, they unload the truck and you have somebody sign the paperwork.
Yeah.
That person signing the paperwork, like you kind of, those kind of situations, you kind of want to be like, man, I know something that this guy doesn't know.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like I know where something comes from and this guy, he ain't ready for that. You know, like that's what I'm talking about when it comes to these scriptures. Like it is so, and my friend Joel from Free the Rabbits podcast, he's been doing a lot of deep dives on like Old Testament and just the old way of thinking about things. He's bringing it back as new almost, where it's like, listen, this is how the writer looked at this. Like, and he goes into like, you know, the really wild stuff. Like, did they have, like supernatural weaponry in the Old Testament, you know, and things like that, you know, like he goes into things that like most of the time in churches, they're not going to be talking about that, you know?
Right.
But it's that kind of stuff
that
I think when people hear it and they learn about it, they walk around, they're like, man, I know some stuff, you know,
and there's some of that going on.
There's this desire to just feel like you're in the know of something that the general people, they don't really know about that yet. I'll tell them about it if they're ready for it, you know? Wow. And that's kind of like where like the Old Testament scripture, even New Testament, but like these Old Testament scriptures with like, you know, I was talking about earlier about the biblical archaeologist angle that I'd like to, you know, have some people on the show for, mm-hmm. right? Like, imagine if you have a whole file full of evidence that fire really did come down from the
sky. Right.
You know, like, and most people in the world don't actually even think about it, let alone believe it.
Yeah.
You can walk around and be like, I got something here, you know? and then you're like, you go to the guy who's, you know, receiving your delivery off the truck and you're like, hey man, you know about the fire coming down from the sky? What are you talking about?
Indiana Jones here, man.
give me 5 minutes. Okay. And then I'll give you the stuff and you can go look it up yourself, but straight up the Red Sea parted, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I feel like that there's that element to the industry that I'm in.
Yeah.
That, you know,
some of that's going on. I mean, people are proving. Look at Noah's Ark and some of these things that are coming out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Euphrates drying up. There's things that are happening that people are literally documenting. I mean, that's kind of what folks like yourself are
100%.
Doing. You're taking it to like, this is actually happening. Like, look, so, but here's the question. Even if God, like everything in the Bible is like right there, mm-hmm. there's still going to be people that reject it and say
for
that,
sure.
which is so crazy because they just don't have eyes to see. And it just trips me out because I'm like, how can you not see this? You know? But there's going to be people like that. And that's the most frustrating thing.
I always get to my C's. It's 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, talking about how the enemy has blinded people from seeing the truth.
Yes.
And it's like, that's exactly what it is.
What we're talking about sounds like foolishness. They'd rather listen to like what Rachel Maddow says is true. You know, I mean, it's like there's not even any fact.
She's out of a job soon, guys. Yeah, so take that as your sign.
There's a big disruption going on. The people, their credibility is in the tank. I mean, after this election,
they're just, do you think Elon's going to actually buy MSNBC?
I think it'd be hilarious if he did.
It'd be a major troll, right?
Yeah. Oh my
God. But
goodness.
That's how they viewed buying X.
Well,
a troll.
I was going to say, if you could kind of translate what's gone on in X, into the news, like, wow, that'd be pretty.
I mean, like, since he's bought X, X has become the number one news source online.
Yep.
You know,
it proves what we're talking about. People are hungry, they're searching for truth. Now there's availability for free speech. So people are just saying what's on their heart. And I honestly think this election was won because of X. I mean, a big factor.
Yeah, big time.
Huge factor. Because, you know, last election cycle, we didn't have it, you know?
Yeah. No, I've been on Twitter back when it was Twitter since it started. I remember I was in my early 20s and I'm talking like Trump right now.
Yeah, I know. Contagious.
But I was in my early 20s and trying to figure out how I was going to pay my bills, right? And this guy at church comes to me. He's like, hey, I own a business. I think I can help you. I'm like, really? That's great and stuff. He's like, yeah, just hey, meet me over here, whatever, this day, this time. And I'm like, great. I go on my wife. I'm like, hey, so-and-so at church said that he has a business and he can help us. And this is great.
Right.
I sit down with him and we start talking. And he pulls out his binder and he starts going through some paperwork. I'm like, man, I'm going to get into some management job or something. Yeah. And he's like, have you ever heard of Amway? And I was like,
oh gosh,
I was like,
here we go.
I was like, no, what is it? And that started 2 years of my life being in Amway, right?
Okay.
Whoa, what was I talking about? How did I get on the Amway thing? What were we just talking about? Jack, do you recall? That was a hard left turn.
It was good conversation.
It was a good conversation. What were we just talking about before I brought that up?
How it led you, how you were being on this journey.
Yeah, well, the journey is to take me to a whole other spot. I really forget where we were going.
Twitter.
That's what it was. So they bring it back around.
Okay.
This happens sometimes. So I remember being doing Amway, going on Twitter, trying to sell my product on Twitter back in the day.
Okay.
I've been on Twitter for a long time.
Right.
But it was like an account that was just pretty much dormant until it became X.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like this new fun playground to be at.
It's
like, I'm just again. Like, this is actually kind of fun,
exactly.
You know?
It's kind of my go-to now.
Yeah, like I go on there, just like I was telling you earlier, like I went on there And when I was recording with the other guys the other day, and just to show them like how the feed is just showing all these UFO invasion stuff right
yes.
now, you know, which,
yes.
you know,
it's trending.
Let's take another hard turn here. What do you think about that? So like the whole, you're familiar with this whole prophecy that came out with the Trump and, yes. and Rogan thing?
Yes.
So did I talk about it on the show? Let me just recap for the people listening, okay. just in case. But essentially in 2009, Cliff High, who is a computer scientist, I tried getting him on the show. He's denied twice. I've seen him on other people's shows, but for whatever reason, he doesn't like the confessionals, you know, he must think it's Catholic or something. But I tried getting him on the show to talk about this because in 2009, he had some kind of algorithm that predicted Rogan and Trump sitting down oh. and having an interview on TV, which obviously was the podcast.
Right.
And, that was supposed to be a triggery event. 39 days later, a UFO invasion was huh. supposed to start. That's December 3rd, which was yesterday.
Right.
And yesterday, it started actually December 2nd. Like, it started popping off. But then December 3rd, like, there was just tons of UFO videos.
True story. Yeah.
Flying around. What do you think about all of that stuff?
Well, I mean, when you have an anticipation of something like that,
yeah.
you know, now on social media, it's like we can kind of create, you know, the anticipation. So you got to be yeah. careful with that, you know, because there's so much AI. There's so much, I mean, what's even real? You know, it's hard to even tell with some of these videos, right? So you got to take all that into account. But I do think they're building up to something.
Yeah.
And I think this is part of that to where it's going to be like in our face more and more. And they'll probably just bring it over major cities and things like that so that so many people see it. And it's like, they're not talking about it, but it's like in the zeitgeist of the people, because obviously all these people are having these, you know, what is that? Right. So it's like, it's building this, you know? So then it's like in the whole rumor gossip mill and in the Twitter sphere. And it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's yes. like the whole, this is how they build a narrative now.
Yeah.
So what are they building up to? That's the question.
I know. It's interesting that, you know, we have, as far as I can recall, it seems like when pardons go out, they go out like the day before a president leaves office, mm-hmm. as far as I can recall.
Right.
The fact that he put out a pardon for his son
yeah.
this early makes me wonder what's around the corner that you may not be able to pardon. You know,
Cash Patel, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. right? Yeah. And so, like, there's a lot of question marks. But I mean, even on I think Thanksgiving, there was UFOs over the Capitol.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah. I mean, this might be just me and my numbness to this at all right, now right, at this right. point. But you know, I see people there in the past, like say 48 hours, posting all these videos online and these lights in the sky.
Yeah,
and like. These normies like being yeah. like, what is that? What is that?
right.
And I'm like, yawn. It's a light in the sky, guys. It's flickering. Like, why do you even like what? What is so like, give me something. Like, is it like an octopus in the sky? Are we right. talking like some kind of, cause I don't know if you know about the biological UFOs. It's a real thing.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but like these people, like they're getting all excited about these lights in the sky, but it's like this collective thing. And what it's like, it's really, If there's somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings, right? They know how to push the certain buttons to get the ball rolling, right? Yes, and it's like they have an ability to know the desired outcome yeah. and understand that there are 15, 20 steps that need to happen before they get their desired outcome.
It's all war gamed out.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah.
And so you kind of see that with this where, could it be that in 2009, and this is just me spitballing, I really don't know, but in 2009, Cliff High comes out with this prediction. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
You know, like we don't know. He didn't know.
Right.
Nobody knew. But the people pushing the buttons behind the scenes, they're looking around like, oh, this would be convenient to use to push this agenda.
Sure.
And so they start resurfacing this and stuff because it's like, okay, well, Rogan and Trump did have that interview. Convenient, or maybe it was some kind of algorithmic prediction that came true, you know, all that, right?
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It can,
yeah.
if two things can be true at the same time, right?
Right.
It could be this algorithm thing could be very real, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And maybe the triggering event is the ones behind the scenes actually pushing the buttons to make the trigger happen,
right.
you know? So like we had this prediction happen, which, you know, I don't know how the algorithm worked to come with that prediction,
yeah.
but maybe it's like, okay. And then 39 days later, this is going to happen because the people operating the shadows are going to make it happen.
Well, the quantum computers now that are running all these, you know, they could do probabilities. And I mean, think about the level of technology behind the scenes that we don't even talk about. You know, I mean, we're talking about like ChatGPT or whatever, but think about like what they actually have. I mean, this is age old at this point. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
The
supercomputers and the quantum computers. So what are those things right now coming up with?
They're predicting the future right now. They already know.
it explodes information because now you have a higher, faster, you know, thinking, you know, this what they call singularity when it reaches the point to where it's like beyond the human. Has that already happened? I mean, would they tell us if it did?
Right.
You know, I mean, so what, you know, this technology is so crazy.
It's wild.
It could, I mean, think of what the sky's the limit with that, you know? So this is kind of what you were dealing with.
So speaking of technology and some things that you mentioned earlier, you brought up CERN earlier. And do you got time for a portal story?
Yeah, go for it, man.
I'm sure you're aware of Oak Ridge having a particle accelerator just like CERN. And, you know, there's hundreds, thousands, I don't know. There's a lot of particle accelerators in this world.
Right.
And I think you're right about the building a larger one. I think China's trying to build a larger one.
Yeah, CERN, I heard about that.
Which, kind of scary, you know? Maybe that's China, but the fact that they're building a bigger one, that's scary.
Which they said could possibly have many black holes, and we don't even know what that means, you know? Yeah.
Many black holes. It's like, okay, you know, over here in CERN, we're trying to open a black hole. This one's going to have many.
Or, you know, bigger black holes. How big does it have to be before, you know?
Large. If you have a black hole, it could be a pin, the size of a pin, and it could just expand and start sucking. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that what they say kind of happened?
Yeah.
And, you know?
So. Yeah. But don't worry, it's controlled. Because I think they said in CERN, they are creating a black hole or something, but it happens so fast and it dies off.
Right.
That, like we don't have to, or no, it's, they didn't do it yet, but they're working towards it. And according to their numbers and their math, that it will be so short lived that it would just be like, they'll be able to measure it and detect it, but it won't be turning into anything.
I mean, how do you know that?
How do you know?
You've never done it before.
Exactly.
You kind of messing with something pretty dangerous.
Right, I mean,
that's not even the Manhattan Project. That's nothing compared to this. This is like the whole universe.
Yeah. We're all over here worried about World War III and nuclear bombs. And like, they're opening a tiny black hole that just sucks the whole universe in a millisecond.
What a crazy time.
Right?
What a crazy time.
Everyone, I want to take a break real quick and talk to you about the new social media network The Confessionals just launched. That's right, The Confessionals has its own social media platform exclusively available to members to theconfessionalspodcast.com. This is a social media platform that houses all the extra content on it. Plus, you get access to your own personal profile that you can post things on. You can comment on episodes, repost episodes, like episodes, comment and reply to other people's comments. You can private chat. You can have access to groups. You can tag people with their handles on the app so they can actually be notified when you comment back to them. This is literally a social media platform that has all the extra content housed on it, and it's just a great way to socialize with other people that have similar mindsets as you. So if you're a member and you haven't got the app yet, go ahead and download it from the App Store. And if you're not a member and it sounds appealing to you, consider becoming a member today to theconfessionalspodcast.com. So Oak Ridge has this particle accelerator.
Yeah.
And when I moved here, I'm new. Right. You know, I moved from Philadelphia. I don't know anybody here.
I'm from California.
Yeah. We just came here because I heard the mountains are pretty.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we moved here in April of 22 and in July, 4th of July. And our immediate next door neighbor said that there were neighbors down the road holding a 4th of July party. And everybody in the neighborhood can come. So right. I was like, okay. So we went and we visited. And I don't know anybody. I'm introducing people. And they're like, what do you do for them? I'm like, how do I say I podcast about weird things, you know, to these new people, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me look at your podcast.
yeah, exactly. So my traditional thing is, I work in media. And news media? No, we do documentaries and things. Like, oh, what kind of documentaries? Stop asking questions, man. So I'm there uncomfortable. And I look over and I see my son playing in a kid's area with another kid, and there's a man standing there watching them. Now, things are different here in the South, but in Philly, like if somebody's standing there watching your kid, hey man, what's up? You know, like,
well, same in LA. That's how it is.
Like, it's, come on, you're a little weird.
Right.
You know?
Right. What are you looking at?
But it turns out it was his son. Okay. And he was just watching kids. And so we're talking and I said, you know, what do you do? You know? And he's like, I work security for Oak Ridge. I'm like, oh, okay. You know? And I knew of Oak Ridge, you know, I didn't realize how close I was going to live to it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to be cool and chill with it, you know, because I don't want to ask prying questions. Yeah, yeah. And I said, oh, what kind of things are you securing over there? And he says some different things and he goes, and from what comes out of portals or something like that. And I was like,
really?
This guy has no idea who I am.
Right.
I didn't tell him what I do for a living. Yeah. Nothing. And I'm thinking to myself, and that's the guy going to think, I'm like, he doesn't know who I am. I'm like, all these thoughts are going through my head. What the heck? You know? And I'm like, he drank too much.
Right.
He's drinking. Oh, he's drunk. Boy. He doesn't know what he's saying right now. So a few months goes by, actually more than a few months. It was October. And one of the people from that cookout had a birthday party, invited me and my wife and family. So we go to this restaurant and they had this big party. And he was there again.
Yeah.
And his wife was there. And we had connected that at 4th of July. I was talking to him more and his wife, and they're really nice people. And he's getting ready to go downstairs to get some drinks. And I just kind of, like, from a distance from across the room, just trying to be chill with it. I said, hey man, what you said at 4th of July about portals and stuff, you're just kidding, right? He's like, right. He goes, oh no, I was serious. And then his wife goes, oh no, he's serious. And I was like, oh, what?
And then kind of what we've been saying.
Everything came off the rails then because I was like, okay, guys, I'm weird and I'm into this stuff. We need to talk, you know?
Right.
And there wasn't much to talk about other than he said that through his orientation, he was told that in recent history, which in 2019, there was an article published out of Oak Ridge that the scientists literally said that their experiments with this was that they were looking for a mirror universe.
Right.
And when everybody started throwing their hands about it, like, whoa, what the heck? They're like, oh, we were just kidding. And it's like, you're scientists. You're not funny. And the jokes don't exist in your world.
They've said some pretty crazy stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So he said that apparently they were successful in opening a portal and a sound came through that was so terrifying that it left everybody in the room running for their life. Mm. Like they were terrified. And so the idea that like something physical came through wasn't told to him as far as I'm concerned, but it was a sound, which is crazy. It's crazy they opened a portal and then that a sound came through. So fast forward, one of his coworkers, I really enjoy guns. And I think somehow he thought that what I did was gun related.
Okay.
And one of his coworkers owns a gun range. And so his coworker reached out to me and said, hey, you know, so-and-so says that we should get dinner sometime. I'm like, cool. Right. I'm about networking.
Yeah.
I go have dinner with him and, we're just talking about work, what we do and all that stuff and just, you know, guys talking and, talking about guns. And, we realized that we didn't totally understand why he even suggested we get together, you know, dinner's over. We go outside, we're standing on the sidewalk, just kind of small talk before we part ways. And, we finally got around to the point of talking about what he does for a living, which he's a coworker. He does security there too. And we were talking and he goes, and portals that open up in the same vein. And I was like, I wasn't going to say anything.
Right.
But he told me the same thing. Are you serious? And he's like, that's what we were told. And I was like, and their training lasts months to be secure. Like, first of all, you and I aren't going to be secure there ever.
Ever.
That's like, we don't have a resume for it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They to secure that facility, they only hire top level that have real experience in killing people with precision.
Right.
Like, and these are high qualified people who then go through months of training to secure this facility because they need to relearn how to shoot accurately wearing gas masks with a handgun in your offhand.
Why?
Like just in case, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so the fact that they're going through this training And that comes up.
Right.
And that two level. People so it confirmed it to me. Maybe they're playing me. But then I come back to this thing of when it first happened, he didn't know who I was.
Right. Right.
So he just offered this information thinking maybe I'm in a contract. Like maybe I'm a guy who mows lawns, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, that's my portal story.
Well, but that is out there though, to where a lot of people feel that's what's happening there.
Yeah.
So it's not just, I mean, so that's like a confirmation really is what that is from people that actually work there. Like, what are these things for? They said they're trying to recreate the Big Bang. Well, how many times do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
You know? Are you trying to undo something that has been done?
You know, and like, then we go to the God particle.
Yeah.
You know, which is what they're trying to get to. Why are they trying to get to that? Because it goes back to you can lose everything, but you can't lose your faith.
Yeah.
So they want to figure out what they're trying to figure out the scientific version of, you know, what is this God particle?
Yeah. And I'm not expecting you to be a scientist for me, but from what I understand, and you, like, I don't totally understand the God particle other than to say it, from what I understand, they're searching for this thing called the God particle or the boson something.
Right.
And what it is, from what I understand, and maybe you know more, or you can correct me if I'm wrong. They're looking for literally the very essence that makes up all existence. Is that right?
There's this, they're trying to figure out this other, they call it like dark matter, but they're trying to figure out like what this other version, they can't figure it out yet. So there's like, even in the quantum computing, I was talking to the scientists a while back and they were saying there's things in the quantum computer that we can't even explain, like how it even works, you know? So that's kind of the level of the technology that it's getting to right now, to where it's coming out of, you know, this whole other, where is this technology coming from? It's kind of like an explosion of information. That's where it goes back to like, are they getting it from somewhere?
Yeah.
You know, because all of a sudden things are really ramping up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Do you think that in that same vein of what you're talking stems back to, like you brought up Enoch before, you know, nobody's saying that it should be canonized, you know, like I went down that road early in the show and stuff. I was like, why isn't it canonized? Yeah, yeah. And all that stuff. But I just kind of sit back and I'm like, it's not.
No.
And there's a lot of smart people in this world that have way more qualifications to make those decisions and they can't agree on it. I'm not going to have I'm just going to fall back and trust and have faith that God is in control.
Yeah.
But in there, it talks about the fallen angels teaching humans how to do things that they never were meant to do, to know how to
do.
And
makeup, weapons of war.
Right.
Right.
Right. Thankful for the makeup, but but it's we see that in an ancient document, and we often look at this stuff as like they happened.
Right.
But why can't it happen still? Right? Like same thing with like the idea of the Nephilim. So somebody recently, I forget who it was, had said to me, and they weren't being mean or anything, but they were just saying like, you believe in the Bible and Genesis 6 and all that. Yeah. And they're like, all right, so Noah's Ark happened and, the flood happens and you've said, and other people say that, you know, they're to wipe out these abominations.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And they're like, do you think that Nephilim existed after the flood? I'm like, Numbers 13:33 is clear about that. And they're like, then how did that happen? How did they survive the flood? And wouldn't God know that that would happen? And why didn't he stop it? Right. That last question,
great questions.
I don't have an answer for, you know?
Yeah.
But the first one is very elementary, but I'm like, if it happened once, why can't it happen again? It was, let's put it this way. It was documented once in scripture.
Right.
But if we don't treat the Bible as an all-encompassing timeline of all of time, and we look at it more like this is what God, this is like his, this is what you need to know book,
mm-hmm.
then it opens up this possibility to say, there are things that happened that maybe we don't even totally understand 100%. That would blow our brains that happened that's not in the scripture. And we will never know even it was a possibility until we get to eternity.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, I say that to say, I just think that it happened again. Like I think it happened again. Or maybe these things have supernatural abilities, which I definitely think they do.
I do.
And could they have just transcended to another realm?
Right.
Just gone to another realm back. To exist there? Because when we see that they Enoch says that demons are the dead spirits in the Nephilim. Well, if demons are interdimensional right now,
right,
is it far stretched to say that they could have been interdimensional when before they were quote unquote demons and they were Nephilim here on Earth?
I don't think so.
I mean, like your father is a supernatural being.
That's right.
And your father's teaching humans how to do supernatural things. You don't think they're going to teach their kids the same thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's my elementary way. What do you say? That's just a simple brain of Tony.
I mean, there's some things we'll understand. It's like that old song, we'll understand it better by and by. You know, it's, yeah. I try, if I, unless I don't have, you know, if I have a biblical way that I could show you it, then I would say, but some of these questions, like this type of question, it's really not fully laid out, you know? So how we just got to, I mean, I can have assumptions or kind of things that I think,
yeah.
But you know, from a biblical standpoint, it's hard to say in that one. You know? Yeah.
Oh, it's totally hard to say.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think that's the thing that terrifies people sometimes. At least for me, it does. I used to be scared of putting myself in a situation where people would have a question that I didn't have an answer to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, I guess the older I've gotten, the more I'm just like, I'm more comfortable saying, I don't know.
And that's a good leader because no one knows everything. You know, like people think because I'm a pastor, I have to know like every verse of the Bible. Like I've read through it a few times, but I remember the whole thing. I mean, you know, so the thing is like, to your point, I think a good leader is just like, you know what? Let me look into that. Let me pray about that. I'll get back to you. But some people think they got to give the answer to everything right away. Yeah. That's actually not a good leader. If you don't know it, then you're making something up. Then you're kind of lying. So that's even worse, right?
It's the worst.
Yeah. So a good leader that's seasoned, that's wise, there's going to be things that people ask and you're like, I don't know, you know? And that it's like that. I mean, I could lay out a few scriptures that would probably, you know, point to the fact that I do think that there could be after the flood, the same as what was before the flood. And I think Pastor Renner feels that way too.
Yeah.
So, you know, as the days of Noah, we talked about that earlier, the return of the gods, you know, so I think that's a real probable thing, but you know, it's like, do I have a whole scriptural path there? No.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You mentioned about Return of the Gods. And you know, there's a book, Jonathan Cahn's book, Return of the Gods. Maybe you don't know again, you know, but, what are your thoughts on this idea of like these ancient, like little g gods returning? Is this something that like, and maybe it's a question that's like, all right, how do you actually like, when people say that, it's like, what do you mean by that though? You know, like, cause like, especially in the Christian circles, like if I say little g God to you, what do you hear?
It's a fake God.
Do you hear, right. Okay. But is it that it's a fake, is it, all right. So is it a fake God? Is it a divine being that God did create and rebelled? Is it a fallen angel? Is a demonic spirit? Like there's so many, like, you know what
I'm
saying?
That's a good question. I think that goes back to the Bible says, we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against what? Strongholds, principalities. Mm. And this, you know, this whole dark, you know, that we can't see in the natural, but that's happening in the supernatural, right? So I think that's what it is that these are strongholds and principalities and very wicked beings that it's kind of like at the end of the age, we're at the end of the end times. So we're seeing an uptick in the spirit of Antichrist. It's getting, the grand finale is about to happen. You know, the bride, you know, is coming home. And so anyway, I think what's happening, is I think that it's this pressure in the spirit. And so, yeah, it's all culminating. Like we talked about earlier, you know, these things, and we're going to have to understand, remember in the scripture where it says that the days would have to be cut short.
Yeah.
You know, because of the things that were, that were upon the earth. Mm-hmm. What things were upon the earth and what were they talking about? And I think there's going to be wicked, crazy things that we better be ready to see.
Yeah. I think the supernatural realm is getting ready to burst at the seams and overflow. And you know, I it's funny because a few months ago, I preached my first sermon at church.
Awesome.
And, I had no idea what I was doing because it's not podcasting, you know, it's totally different.
You got to start somewhere,
and,
right?
Yeah. And let's put it this way. I did a sermon on spiritual warfare and the power of prayer. And not one time, the beginning to the end, did I pray with the congregation. I was just like, afterwards, I was like, I forgot to pray.
You have to pray.
But in that, I did this whole discussion, I hate saying preaching. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I preached a sermon on Daniel 10 and this idea of spiritual warfare that happened there and the fact that the spiritual warfare didn't exist until Daniel started praying. He initiated that delay. Like there was no delay to be had until he started praying. And then the prince of Persia came and prevented the angel from getting to Daniel and answering his prayer for 3 weeks. And so like this whole sermon, I started like, I preached and I didn't know if it fell on deaf ears, but it didn't fall on my ears definitely. And since then have used that sermon in my own life to understand the spiritual warfare that I was going through.
Right.
And I'm speaking of the supernatural realm and spilling over, I'm really becoming aware that like how integrated our active participation in prayer is to what is happening in the spiritual realm. I feel it's almost like we've been taught and teach. We were kind of raised to believe that like your prayer is like a box that you're supposed to check. Mm. And ultimately, because God is an all-powerful being, your prayer doesn't matter about the outcome as much as it is, hey, jump through the hoops, monkey. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're doing what you're supposed to
time
do.
Card, check
yeah, exactly. Yeah, good job. Yeah. You checked it off.
Right.
You know, because ultimately that prayer doesn't matter. My will be done. And there's something to be said about that.
Sure.
But I really feel like spiritual warfare has because everything's created by God.
Right.
Spiritual warfare and how it operates and how it works was created by God. And I think He created it for our actual participation. Yeah. And when we are participating in spiritual warfare and prayer, man. It actually activates the spiritual realm in a way that would not have been activated if you didn't pray.
You're preaching
and,
now.
And
see?
So like,
see how that works? That's the fire, brother.
So like, I just feel like I'm coming to this realization, right? And so my prayers have become way more intense and expecting things because I'm praying. I'm expecting there to be activation in the spiritual realm because of this action I'm doing now, right?
Right.
And I feel like the more people are aware of that and start doing that, the more the supernatural realm is going to bust at the seams because evil is happening and when we're doing our job and actively participating in the spiritual warfare, it will activate the spiritual realm to be able to bust at the seams. Yes. And there's a divine war. There's a supernatural war going on that we can't see. And I really think at times we're going to see it.
We're going to see
it. I think that's what we're starting to experience.
Yes. And coming down here today, I was telling you, brother, I my eyes were puffed. I don't know what just happened. Like, my mouth dry. Like I'm like under attack getting here today. I'm like, I'm in spiritual warfare, but I just press ahead these days, you know? But I'm like, what is it that we're going to talk about that the enemy doesn't want for me to have like an allergic reaction? Like, you know, I was about to call you, bro, and just be like, I don't even know if I can make it. Cause it was that bad. And I said, no, I'm going to press ahead.
I'm so glad you did.
Thank you. And I feel like crazy because it's like, I know my eyes are all puffy, but it's like, what am I going to do? You know, but the anointing is here. And what you're speaking about is the heart of God. You know what I'm saying? Like if every believer, see, we just went from like all the things that are going on in the world to this is all spiritual. So, okay, if it's spiritual, then there has to be a God. Mm. You know, I told you my testimony. You've kind of shared some of your journey, right? We're kind of putting the pieces all to this final destination of being in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the spirit, you see what's going on. You understand. He gives you revelation. And then it goes back to the anointing. And everything in your life is a different perspective because it's no longer we that lives. It's not our vain imaginations. It's not what we're trying to accomplish. It becomes we're about the business of God. And that's what's happening is this culmination of the spirit where God is saying, look, I'm coming back real soon. So at this point, there's no fence sitting. Like you got to choose a side. Yeah. It's light or it's darkness. Here's the darkness. And we see how reprobate some of these folks' minds are where they're thinking they're dogs. And I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on in our world right now. And that's demonic, you know, or you step in the light and you're taking a stand for truth, then you're going to be dealing with warfare. And there, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but what's going to happen is God's going to give you a revelation and a fire, and you're going to find ultimate truth. And that's going to not only satisfy you and give you joy and peace, but it's going to give you the strength that you need to endure in these crazy times.
Yeah.
You know,
I love it.
Not business as usual. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. It's not. This isn't your, what's that phrase? This isn't your grandfather's Oldsmobile or something. This isn't your grandfather's Christianity. This isn't like,
this is warrior
we're in a new era. We're in a new era. Things are changing and it's unfolding before your eyes. I'm glad you pushed through, because that literally, when I said to you earlier about how, we've been going through spiritual warfare, and part of it is schedule.
Right.
Like, I had people who normally wouldn't cancel.
Right.
And it was for weird things. And
they're probably dealing with warfare too.
For sure.
Yeah.
But these are like name people. Like I was like, they want to be on the show.
Right.
You know? And back in August at the conference that we met.
Yeah.
The first day was a wild day for me. Like, I was like, I was under spiritual attack. I wasn't feeling the conference. And it really came to, I think, that night after it was all over the first night, a guy came over who heard me speak, and he's like, "Hey, you know, something about my podcast." And I was like, "Oh, you listen?" And he's like, "No, not really." And it was just like very honest. I was like, "Oh, cool. Okay." So, he's like, "I just heard about your podcast from the stage." I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's right. I did talk about that." And he goes, do you ever have, issues with spiritual attack?" And I was like, and normally I'm like, "Nope, I'm good. God put me here. He's going to protect me." But for whatever reason, this complete stranger, I'm like, "Yeah." I had, and I don't think I've ever told the whole story on the show. And I don't know if I'm ready to yet, but I've been talking about it roughly. I told him, I said, "Yeah, I have two witches that are after me right now."
Wow.
And which the next day, Joseph Z, as he was praying for me, saw them and rebuked them and bind them. But he steps aside and he's like, "This is my friend. He, is a deliverance minister." And, he's like, this guy steps forward. He's like, "I want to pray a prayer of impartation on you, that you would have eyes to see and ears to hear the attack before it comes." And he prays, and I felt like I'm sobbing. Jack standing there is like, "My brother freaking crying in front of all these people and stuff." And the older I get, the more I cry. I don't know. I used to be tough, and then I got out of Philly. But since that prayer though, I've had eyes to see and ears to hear. And when it comes to the spiritual attack, even maybe before, not before it comes, but in the middle of it, I'm identifying it, you know? And the scheduling thing was one of those things where I was like, this is a spiritual attack. And I realized that we were coming under attack with the schedule, and the people that were canceling were conversations like this, you know? And so I pray about it and stuff, and you know, it's not like the attack stops. Like somebody had asked me, because I know I was texting you and I was texting other people when things were going on, somebody had checked in to say, you know, how are things going? And I said, it's kind of hard to tell you because it's not as bad, but I don't know if it's not as bad because my prayers have thwarted the attack and stopped it, or if the attack persists and my prayers are shielding me from it. Either way, I'm not feeling it as much,
right?
But I don't know what's happening in the other realm. I don't know what's actually happening. Yep. You know, I understand that very well. I need to keep praying. You know,
that's it.
But I'm glad you pushed through that, because I would have just checked that off as another one, you know?
No, I think that what's happening is the conversations that are being had here are awakening folks, and they're anointed. And I think the enemy is against that. And we have to press through, like you said. It's kind of like the Matrix, you know, it's not that the attacks stop, but you get better at dealing with them, I think is what it is. And now you also recognize, like, okay, this is an attack, you know, and then you press through in prayer. I have intercessors that pray for me, you know, so we have a team. And, you know, we pray for each other. And I think accountability is important, you know, having other brothers and sisters in the Lord that know how to pray.
Yeah.
But the key is the devil doesn't want us praying. And prayer is one of the most powerful weapons we have, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm finding that out. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a question here, this, and it's not selfish, but it's something new for me. I'm a podcaster. I'm not short of words.
Yeah.
I can talk. It's just what I do.
It's a gift God's given you.
Amen. However, I'm starting to find myself during prayer not being able to talk and speak the way I am here, or even how I normally would pray.
Yeah.
Even when I'm doing like bedtime prayers with my son, like I'll be sitting there and I'll be praying, and we're praying. We always start out with thanks. We start out with thanking the Lord for simple things to salvation, right? And then we go into our requests of, you know, asking the Lord to protect us, and not just protect us physically tonight, but protect us spiritually tonight. Yeah. Protect us in our dreams. Protect us from anything that might approach Benny in his dreams tonight, and all that, because it happens. And so when I'm praying, and not all the time, but I am finding it's happening more than I'm comfortable with, I find myself having a very hard time taking what I'm trying to say and put it into words. And it's like simple things like, you know what really happens a lot recently is, this has happened, talking about spiritual warfare, and I'm probably talking more about my personal spiritual warfare than I ever have on my show. I tend
it's
to
important conversation.
People don't understand what goes on behind the scenes sometimes, and it's really been crazy recently. The last few months, I've been doing a lot of praying over my house, walking through my house, praying over it, and especially if something happens, I'll take Ben to school, and then Lindsay will take Gemma out of the house. And I just go through the house,
right,
and I spend time in prayer.
Good.
Especially like if something happens the night before or something. And when I'm doing that, it's so weird. I have a very hard time at times rebuking in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
Like it's not like I can't say the word Jesus, but this punch of order of words that I feel inside that I want to hit, it's not there. And I'm just like, you know, I just be like, in the name of Jesus, or I'll be like, I stumble over words. I get them backwards. I found a point where I started yelling it over and over again, because it finally hit me. I had a hard time saying, "I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ." Oh. I had a hard time saying that.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if my brain's breaking or if it's spiritual.
Hey, it's spiritual. Yeah.
I needed you to tell me that.
Yeah. So. No, it is.
Thank
I think
you,
it
Pastor.
Is. You're doing, hope I could be a help today. You know, that's the thing though, is that there's oppressive spirits, there's lying spirits, and it is oppressive. That's what we're, that when the Bible says we're not battling against flesh and blood, this is what he's talking about. So it's like, you got to press through and say, "Jesus, I need you. Help." I mean, you could say, "Help, you know, I need you, Lord, and give me the strength." And I feel like in that moment where you call upon his name, something starts shifting, you know, and you do get the power, but you really got to press ahead, because the enemy, if you're in Christ and you're walking in the anointing and the calling on your life, one of his biggest things against you is going to be to torment you, to attack you in that way, you know, torment your mind, oppressive spirits that's trying to attack you spiritually, you know, so it's a battle. But the thing is, in prayer, it's won, you know, and we quote scripture. That's the sword of the Spirit. We inquire of the Holy Spirit for a strategy. Yeah, bind in the name of Jesus, you know, and just know you're in a battle. But the Lord, here's the good news, okay, is that it's a fixed fight. We're on the winning team, and it's not like those cartoons where you got Satan on one side and Jesus on the other. We got the creator of all things, heaven and earth. Remember when we were talking about how good it's going to be in heaven, best possible scenario? Well, here's another good thing about being a Christian, okay? It's not even comparable, the God that we serve versus the enemy.
Yeah,
you know, so we always can come from a position of strength, but we got to do our part and learn how to fight in the spirit and pray. And then when you do that, you're victorious.
Mm. Amen. I think we're going to bring it in for a landing.
All right. We covered a lot.
We went all over the place. And if people are still listening right now, I'm sure they're digging it. And we just took them on this like rush, you know,
we covered.
And
man.
So we're going to,
for us.
We're going to bring this in for a landing for our sake and the audience sake, for them to breathe a little bit, because we hit them good today. you're a pastor in Nashville.
Yeah.
Is there, you're an author and you're a podcaster with Mario Murillo, which, you know, I'm publicly stating, Mario, if you're listening right now, I'd love to talk to you, buddy.
He's coming. He's coming.
I would love to talk to you. My house or yours, I'm good with either, you know? So, right, yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to point people towards outside of the book, the podcast, I mean, if your church, if you want to?
I mean, we do a Friday night streaming service on social media. We do a Sunday service on social media, and we just teach the word of God, and we just share about a lot of things where we bring in a lot of the current events to what's happening today. So, mm-hmm. I mean, my main thing is if we cross paths, I hope that in the time that we're together, you would grow and you'd be more on fire for the Lord. That's my mission as a pastor.
Let me just say this, and we really will end it. What you just said, I can speak from experience. I experienced that with you.
Praise God.
The very first time I met you, I felt like, and I can get kind of condescending in the sense that, like, I'm like, you say that, but you don't mean that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And you know, I'm praying for you, brother. Are you really?
Yeah, right.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
it's a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. But my interaction at the conference with you, was very positive. And I was just like, I really like this guy, you know? And then we just so happened to be in the same hotel. We ran into you in the lobby.
Yep.
And we ought to stand there talking for a while. And then the other couple came over, but in our interactions and stuff, you exchanged information with me and you said, you know, just let me know if I can pray for you or anything. And you specifically said, I'm really going to pray for you. And I was like, all right, let me take this guy up on the offer. And you've been praying for me.
Yes.
And so, like, what you just said and stuff, I just wanted to confirm, like, you're really all about, you know, connecting with people and leading them to a better life in Christ.
That's my heart, man. I'm just a regular guy that's on a mission, and the Lord revealed himself to me, and you know, he's real. So I'm trying to tell people that. And I make mistakes, and
of course
I'm not perfect, but you know, I do. I love Jesus, and you know that he's real. And I just want everybody to experience what he's done for me, you know?
Awesome. Well, Todd Coconato, man. Appreciate
you. My friend. Appreciate you. Thank you for what you're doing. Keep it up and just know that we're with you, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sometimes I feel alone when I'm looking at myself, cause I look down a road full of bottles, broken nails. So I just try to call, swerving off the road. I used to do it for the roses, adulation so they notice. Used to say they weren't my focus, lying, Jonesing for the Joneses things. I know that everything that's going on can start to overwhelm, like the war on terror is just a war within ourselves. Are you woke or are you wake? Genuine or are you fake? I'm feeling like I'm sent by UPS with all the tape. These boxes are all made by delusions that we chase, but I'm just staying base. Snakes are slithering, they keep it snake. She coming with the cake, but how it's baked is important, but so is what you bring. Cause being real ain't acting like a king. I feel I'm spinning round and about to crash. Chaos all around me, feeling trapped. All this pressure mounts, I wanna crack. Like I'm going around in circles. Like I'm going around in circles. Look at leashes on the collars of these people. Follow monsters like a mogwai in the water. Then they multiply. It's easy to get bitter. I'd rather dulcify. I'd rather justify anything but selling me. Leave me alone with the mic like a spelling bee. Smoking guns in your face, but you disagree. I ain't have to change your mind. I'm just hoping that you'll listen. I'm just hoping that a little bit of what I'm saying will make you take a second and see that everything ain't adding up. I know it's hard, I know it's hard. I feel I'm spinning round and about to crash. Chaos all around me, feeling trapped. All this pressure mounts.